beloved listeners, welcome to Grace Life Komi Podcast, brought to you by the publication arm of Chimdi Ohuna Ministry International Komi. Our vision is to empower individuals to reach full spiritual completeness in God through the insightful teaching and preaching of the Word of God. The Grace Life Komi Podcast offers every believer a continuous stream of fresh, simple, yet deeply impactful teaching episodes that engender the revelation light of Christ Jesus. Our objective is to motivate and uplift individuals through the provision of enlightening content that facilitates a profound exploration of faith. Grace Life Komi Podcast is dedicated to fostering a beneficial impact on the lives of our audience, aiming to positively transform their spiritual journey and enhance their connection with faith. Chimdi and Funke Ohuna delivers teachings that aim to illuminate the profound truth and significance of the person and the work of Christ, providing essential guidance and instruction for nurturing and developing believers in their relationship with Christ. We urge you to remain connected to the Grace Life Komi Podcast and engage with us, a platform where believers can immerse themselves in teachings, cultivate knowledge, and form connections with like-minded seekers of Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Grace to you. Jesus is Lord.
We are looking at the fact that soul winning means to reveal Jesus, who by his life, himself, and his finished work on Calvary, acquired man for the Father. Amen to Jesus. So soul winning is about revealing Jesus. You see, one of the things we have had as a challenge over the years is that we have not understood what soul winning entails. Soul winning is not revealing a sect. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not revealing a religion. It's not revealing a group. It's not revealing, when I mean a religion, some people believe Christianity is a religion. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it's not revealing Christianity. Are we together? It's not really revealing a denomination in Christianity. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not revealing a man. Are we together? You know, that's not what soul winning is all about. It's not revealing the kind of denomination you attend. No. Soul winning is about revealing Jesus. The truth remains that when Jesus is revealed, souls are won. If you reveal any other thing, souls may not be won. Are you getting me? But when Jesus is revealed, souls are won. Because Jesus told the Father, I said, exalt me, glorify me, and I will draw what? Men to you. So once Jesus is glorified, the resultant effect is that men will be drawn to the Father. That's why when you just reveal Jesus, leave the remaining for Jesus to do. Are we together? Just reveal Jesus and leave the remaining. You see, soul winning could be the easiest thing to do. You know, it is the easiest thing to do when Jesus is the one that we reveal. Number one, we don't even win souls. It is Jesus that wins the souls. Are you getting me? So we just reveal the winner. We reveal the winner. But the joy about it is that we enjoy in the benefits, in the partnership, the blessing of you know, revealing Jesus. We get the blessing. He's the one who wins the souls. We cannot win souls by ourselves. No, we can't. Preach 1,001 messages. Only Jesus can win the souls. So why try to reveal someone else when it is still Jesus that acquires men to the Father? So reveal him and let him do the acquisition. Are we together? Reveal and let him do the work. Let's stop trying to do the work for Jesus. See, my work is not to do the work of Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying? My work is to reveal Jesus. Allow him do his work and I get the benefits. Praise God forevermore. Romans 5 verse 8 says, "For God commended his love towards us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He died for us. He purchased us. The Bible says we have been bought with a price. We have been bought with a price. He purchased us. Jesus was the ransom himself. He was the price paid for our sin. Are we together? So when we reveal Jesus, what happened? We reveal his finished work. The work he did in acquiring men for the Father will be enforced in their life. So when we tell people Jesus died for you, do you know what that statement means? Do you know the magnitude, the gravity? What other word can we use? The potency of that word. Jesus died for you. Do you know how powerful that word is? That word is enough to win any soul.
Yes.
Because when that word is revealed, you are revealing the purchasing power of God. Jesus died for you. You have just revealed the purchasing power of God. The purchasing power of God is not gold nor silver. It is Jesus. Jesus is the purchasing power of the Father. So when you tell somebody Jesus died for your sins, you have just revealed the purchasing power of Jesus. And let me tell you, the Bible says, Gospel says, so is every word that goeth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish the purpose for what it, for which it was sent. When the Father sent Jesus to purchase us, which is the, through the act of redemption, he redeemed us back to the Father. He paid the price in full, in full, in full. And everyone who surrenders to him has benefited from that price. So when we reveal Jesus, we are revealing the purchasing power of God that achieved his tax. He achieved it. So we're revealing the purchasing power of God. When you go into a market, you don't go with stories. You don't go with stories. You go with purchasing power. In economics, they taught us that the difference between want and desire and effective demand is purchasing power. What differentiates a want and a desire from an effective demand is purchasing power. When purchasing power backs up a want and a desire, it becomes what? An effective demand. The purchasing power of the Father is Jesus. The Father desired that all men be saved. And he knew that that desire and that want would have just been a daydream without adding purchasing power to it. And so John 3:16 makes us know that God so what? So loved the world. That was his want and his desire. But he ended with his want and his desire. What did he do? He added his purchasing power to it. That he did what? That he gave his only begotten son. Purchasing power. That's the purchasing power of the Father. He says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So when we review Jesus, we reveal the purchasing power of the Father. And then what he did on the cross is made effect in their life. That's the reason why when we reveal Jesus, we can go to bed and leave him to win the souls. Oh, we leave him to win the souls. He is the purchasing power of the Father. Oh, the song that says the blood still has miraculous power. Ah, it washed our sins. It's still washing our sins. Oh, come on. Jesus was the price paid, and that price forever is valid. The Bible says he gave us an eternal salvation. Eternal! Eternal! The purchasing power. So when we reveal Jesus, we are revealing the ability of God to acquire men. And once he's revealed, men will be acquired. That's the reason why the devil is fighting the revelation of Christ. He wants us to reveal other things, but not to reveal Jesus. Because he knows that the moment Jesus is revealed, the purchasing power of the Father is revealed. And man must be acquired. They must be acquired from the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of his dear soul. They must be translated from the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of his dear soul. So he finds the revelation of Jesus. Let them preach any other thing, but let them not preach Jesus. Let them shout anything, but let them not shout Jesus. Because if they shout Jesus, hell will empty again. The last time they shouted, I knew how many souls I lost. That's what the devil keeps saying. If they shout again, more souls. Do you know how many souls will be lost to hell every time Jesus is revealed? Not only will souls be lost to hell, sicknesses and diseases will be checked out of people's bodies when Jesus is revealed. That's how he fights the revelation of Jesus. So when he's revealing Jesus, the acquiring power of God. So it's not hard to say so when he, no, it's not hard. Reveal Jesus. Jesus loves you. As simple as that statement is, the devil fears it. As simple as it sounds, the devil quakes when he hears it. When I go to pray for the sick, all I tell them is Jesus loves you. He doesn't want you to be sick. I don't say much. He doesn't want you to be sick. That's all. He loves you. He doesn't want you to be sick. The devil does not want them to know that Jesus loves them. And that's why we are shouting it. We are shouting at the top of our voice. We are hitting the airways that Jesus loves men. That Jesus is the purchasing power of God. And Jesus died for our sin. He paid our debt. We are not meant to pay it again. We shouldn't pay it. Why should you pay for something that has been paid? Our debts have been paid in full. Why should we pay for it? So winning is revealing Jesus, the purchasing power of God. God loved us while we were yet sinners. So winning is telling people God loved you while you were yet a sinner. So you can't afford to remain a sinner when he loves you. No, you can't reject his love. That love is beyond words can tell. We are shouting it every day. I will keep shouting it that God loves sinners. Even the people that some of us are wanting to go to hell, God doesn't want them to go to hell. But say it's not a desire that any would perish. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
So to win souls means to reveal Jesus, who by his life, himself, and his finished work, what? Acquired men for the Father God. Next is to reveal Jesus. To win souls means to reveal Jesus, who was the price paid by the Father God to buy man from the devil. Ha! He was a price. We always say Jesus paid the price. Jesus did not pay the price. Jesus was the price that was paid. The difference between paying the price and being the price paid. If Jesus paid the price, Jesus would have used something. Are you getting what I'm saying? To buy us back. But the actual fact that the thing that Jesus used to buy us back is himself. He used his blood. He used his body. And above all, he used his life. So what was the price paid? The price paid was not his blood. The Bible says, remember, the book of Leviticus says, for the life of the living is the blood. So if his blood is what he used to pay us, and the life is in the blood, that means he used his life that's in the blood. Are you getting what I'm saying? His body that was battered and bruised for our sake, it was his body. So at the end of the day, he used his life to pay for our sins. So he was the price that was paid. Jesus was the price that was paid. The price that was paid. The full payment for our sin. Says, for you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20. Galatians 3 verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Be made. Be what? Made. He was made a curse. For it is written, cursed is anyone that hangeth on the tree. So Jesus is the price paid. He's the price that the Father paid for our redemption. When we reveal Jesus, we are revealing the full price. How much is man worth? Man is worth Jesus. And what is Jesus worth? Jesus is worth God the Father. Are you getting what I'm saying? So how much is man worth? Man is worth God. No wonder the psalmist said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visited him? For thou hast crowned him with glory and honor, thou made him a little lower than Elohim. God paid himself to buy us. Jesus is the price paid for our redemption. And every time we reveal Jesus, the price paid, we are winning souls. So they think that, for you to win souls, you have to go on the street and do a crusade. You have to do one-on-one. Those are beautiful steps. Are you getting what I'm saying? Those are evangelism. Now, evangelism and soul winning, they are alike. But evangelism is the act of going out. Are you getting what I'm saying? But it's possible for you to evangelize and not win the soul. In fact, there are some people that even go for evangelism and they end up in argument. At the end of the day, my father always says something, you may win the argument, but you may not win the soul. They end up in argument and they lose the soul. Personally, I don't like arguments. I don't like arguments. I don't like it. It's really about the word of God. If I don't understand, I don't understand it. So I wait till I understand. But I won't argue with you. If you don't understand, we wait till you understand. And let's get clearer places of clearer understanding of scripture. We'll not have to argue. But if we are arguing, that means two of us have a problem. Are you getting what I'm saying? We don't understand. Both of us don't understand. So let us go and understand. When we both understand, we'll not argue again. If you meet a couple that have grown to begin to understand themselves, it's called argument is not in their family. Not because they are not having the same similar things they used to have in the past. They are having it, but they have grown to understand themselves. So the things that is to make them argue, they have understood it well, and they don't need to argue. If you are still arguing, that means you don't understand. So let's go and understand. When we understand, our argument will stop. Are you getting what I'm saying? Praise God for more. So when we go after evangelism, we present the gospel. Are you getting what I'm saying? But it's only the Holy Spirit that can win the soul. But when we present the gospel, we are partnering with God. And when we present the gospel to somebody and the Holy Spirit wins that soul, we have what? Become soul winners. That's the beauty about working with God. God does not credit it to himself. You see, that's the beauty about working with God. God will not say, I'm the one who won the soul. He will say, you are the soul winner. The Bible says that we need a soul as well. Whereas, it's not you that won it. It's not you that won the soul. You actually just reveal Jesus. And Jesus by himself won the soul. But he doesn't take it and say, I'm the one who won the soul. He has done the work of salvation. He has sent us on reconciliation. He has already received his reward for his work that he has done. He wants us to receive reward. That's the business of soul winning, yes, sir. Jesus just wants us to receive reward. And some of us see finding difficult wanting to receive reward. Are you getting what I'm saying? We see finding difficult wanting to receive reward. Jesus has received his own. He wants us to receive. And so when we go out and present Jesus, that's evangelism. Jesus, because he has been presented, what happens? He takes the responsibility to do what? To win the soul. That is soul winning. So we do evangelism, Jesus does soul winning. Are we together? And when he does that, he credits it to our account and say, we are the one. He that winneth soul is wise. He now makes us wise for doing the work. Are you getting me?
Yes.
But because we're involved, we partnered with him, he says you have a reward for it. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when we reveal Jesus, the price paid for our sins, we are what? We are winning souls. And let me tell you, Jesus is more than enough. Are you getting what I'm saying? Jesus, see, I have grown in my walk with the Lord to know that Jesus is more than enough. See, the gospel made simple is Jesus revealed. You want to see people saved? Reveal Jesus. You want to see the sick healed? Reveal Jesus. You want to see the dead come back to life? Reveal Jesus. Anything you want to see Jesus do in the Bible, you want to see it happen in your life, just reveal the doer. He's the one who did it now. We are not the doers. Peter says, such as I have. In other words, the person that I saw do this thing is in me. I have him, so I give him to you. Peter understood it very well. Reveal the one who is doing it, so at the end of it, they enjoy the benefits for revealing him.
Yes.
The gospel is made simple when Jesus is revealed. The gospel is complicated when we reveal any other thing. Whether we are revealing ourselves or revealing topic. I'm not a topical preacher. Are you getting what I'm saying? We have done over 1 year of the miracles of Jesus. Are we together? And, you know, one of the things that God has always helped me is that at the end of the day, no matter how the message goes, Jesus must be revealed. Because who are we preaching? We are not preaching ourselves. We are preaching Jesus. So, I'm a marketer for Jesus. Sales rep for Jesus. When a sales rep goes out, he represents his company, and also the service to be rendered by the company is to be rendered by he cannot render it. Is the company that has that service. He's going representing the company. If the company is not existing and not backing up, he cannot go out. And so when he represents the company and the company needs the people need the service, he on behalf of the company renders the service. He cannot do it on his own, else it becomes a fraud. Are we together?
Yes.
When we go and we present any other thing, any other person than Jesus, we have become frauds. When we reveal any other thing or any other person than Jesus, we have become fraud. See, the gospel is not faith. At the point in time, the faith teaching was very strong, and we thank God for that. But at the point in time, it's like people said they're having faith in faith, not faith in Jesus. Amen. The gospel is not faith, sir. The gospel is Jesus. The gospel is not healing. The gospel is Jesus. The gospel is not whatever, call all you have to call. That is not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus. We are sent as sales rep to represent Jesus. And it's when we represent him, we are good to go. He does his work. So we reveal Jesus, who was the price that was paid. He was the price that was paid for the salvation of the sins of men. My brothers, my sister, it may look very simple, but just telling somebody Jesus paid the price for you. That statement, as simple as it looks, you may not have many biblical backups, but it will plant a seed. You have sown a seed in the life of somebody that in due time, the Holy Spirit will keep watering and watering and watering and watering, and until the due time where it's time for the seed to produce harvest, it will produce harvest. Amen, amen to Jesus.
Amen.
And now the next one is that to win soul means to bring man to God. To bring man to God. To do what? To bring man to God. You see, we are seeing what soul winning is. And as we are seeing it by the day, we are discovering that it's not our work. Our work is to reveal Jesus as the price paid, to reveal Jesus as the one who gave himself and by his finished work acquired men for the Father. But when it comes to bring men to God, it's not our work. We are to reveal Jesus. And Jesus is the one who does what? Who brings men to God. 1 Peter 3 verse 18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." Who suffered to bring us to God? Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. I did, my brothers, my sisters, I didn't suffer to bring you to God. I listened to a man of God and he said, "If I die for you, my death will be a waste." He said, "My death will be a waste." He said, "Jesus has died for all of us. Why should I die for you?" So those are waiting for preachers of the gospel to die for them. I can't die for a person. If I have to die for anybody, I'll die for Jesus. Not for you. No, I won't die for you. Are you getting what I'm saying? I will die for the sake of the gospel if I'm to die. But not for you. Jesus has died to bring us to bring all men to God. I cannot bring men to God. I know my boundaries. My boundary is present Jesus. And Jesus' work is to bring the men. So when I present, I leave Jesus to do his work. Are you getting what I'm saying? I know the believing about it. Paul, Saul of Tarsus, held the coats of the people who were stoning Stephen. They were stoning Stephen and stoning Stephen and stoning Stephen to death. Saul of Tarsus held their coats. Who would have known there that the one who was holding their coats would be brought to God? Who would have believed it? Stephen did not even see it. Stephen, while he was being stoned, he saw heaven open and he saw Jesus standing. That means at that point, he was at the peak of the prophetic visionary gift. So if he saw Jesus standing, he should have seen, look back and see Paul holding the coat and say, "My God, that is the man that will take the gospel to the Gentiles. This is the man that will do more than I have done. This is the man that is taking my place and the place of Judas." He should have seen it. But why did he not see it? Because it's not his job to bring men to God. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's not our job to bring men to God. We present Jesus, and Jesus brings men to God. He said what? He said, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." Why did he suffer? To bring you to God. Jesus suffered to bring men to God. I cannot suffer to bring men to God.
Yes.
He said he suffered once. My suffering is for righteousness' sake. My suffering is with him so that I will be glorified with him. But to bring men to God, he has done it all for us. He has done it. My job is simple. Reveal the one who brings men to God, and he will bring men to God. Reveal the one who brings men to himself, and he will bring men to himself. Are you getting what I'm saying? I cannot bring men to anybody. I see, even when I did a sales job, I never spoke to people with the understanding that I can convince them. Are you getting what I'm saying? I remember when I went to sell to somebody once and he told me, "Come and convince me." I said, "I didn't come to convince you. I came to sell a future to you. It's your choice to buy or not to buy." You gotta go, what kind of problematic salesman is it? And that's been my approach in the preaching of the gospel. I cannot bring people to God. I can only reveal the one who brings. Are you getting me?
Yes.
And when I reveal the one who brings, he is the one who will do what? Who will bring. Is somebody understanding soul winning today?
Yes.
Are you understanding being a fisherman? And how simple is this? So when you go and pray for salvation of souls, and you go out, just know that your job is to reveal Jesus. Don't do anything more than that too. Don't argue people. Oh. Don't try to show that you know. Don't try. Some people came to meet me a while ago and said, "I want to do Bible study." They once met me once in my country. And when they met me, they came to my house too. And when they came to my house that day, and that phase of my ministry, I was experiencing some kind of weird miraculous, you know. And the guy, the person who was talking, he said, "Miracles no longer exist again. They ended with the apostles." I said, "Hey, stop there." So I said, "Stop there. I'm a living proof that miracles exist. I've been seeing it in ministry. I see miracles. So if it's that I've not seen, you can say what you are saying is a fact. But you cannot be talking to a living proof and be arguing with the living proof. No. No, just argue with me that I'm a man. I don't have that problem. You understand what I'm saying? I don't have that problem. Let me stop there. So So they told me they want to come for Bible study. I said, I'm busy. And that day I was coming back for my revival prayer meeting. I was tired. I said, I can't, I'm tired. They said, okay. I said, my schedule is tight. I said, go to my podcast and go and listen. Don't worry. If you listen, ask me questions, I will reply your podcast. Because me, I don't know how to argue. We only know how to reveal Jesus. If I, when I reveal Jesus, when you say the Jesus you know, he doesn't behave like this, he doesn't behave like that. The one I know, this way, he behaved. So I'm sorry, I cannot argue with your Jesus. I can only stand with my Jesus. My Jesus opened blind eyes. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. And he said he has given me what? Authority to do the same thing. So if you only not give you authority, don't be angry. I don't know. I don't know why he not give you authority. But my own gave me authority. And I saw it in my Bible that he said he has given authority to the disciples. And by extension, I'm also a disciple. I'm a follower of his. He also gave me the authority. So please, if you don't want to collect the authority, also I'm not arguing with you, don't collect. This criticism is not by force. If you say you don't want authority, don't collect. Let the devil slap you, no problem. If you say you don't, no, please, this is no argument. I don't argue. I only reveal. When I reveal, I go. I leave the one who has been revealed to do the remaining job.
Yes.
Are we together?
Yes.
Next, soul winning is to reveal Jesus, the groom, who came to marry his wife, the church, and has married her. Are we together? He came to marry her. I get up say the reason why Jesus came was to marry his bride. He on the cross. In Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says, and God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he opened his side, and he took a rib, and he made a woman, and he presented her to him. And Adam said, this is indeed flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone, for she shall be called woman. The first Adam was made to sleep. Are you getting me?
Yes.
And his side was opened, and his wife was brought out. The last Adam also slept the sleep of death. He gave up the ghost. And when he died, the Bible says that the soldier by his side took a spear and pierced his side. It's all about the side. He pierced his side. And blood, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Blood for the washing, for the remission of sin came out. And water, say that he may sanctify us by the washing of the water by the word. For our continuous washing also came out. So what came out from the side of Jesus was the two cleansing agents that brought about the church. The church came out from his side as a spirit being. Adam, the first Adam, the Eve was brought to him as a physical being. Are you getting what I'm saying? The last Adam, when his side was pierced, the bride, his wife, came out what? As a spirit being with the two factors that cleanses the bride. The one that cleansed the bride from sin, and the one that keeps cleansing the bride from spots and wrinkles. That's why he said he will present the bride before his father without spots and wrinkle. Why? Because by the washing of the water of the world, the bride is continuously cleansed. Why are we preaching Jesus? Because every time we preach Jesus, the bride is washed by the washing of the water of the world. The wrinkles will begin to straighten up. The spots will begin to disappear. Maybe there are 100 spots on the bride, but when we preach Jesus today, one spot we go, we are one short of 199. We preach tomorrow, another spot. Why do we keep revealing Jesus? So that the spots will keep going. And it's coming for a bride without spots and wrinkles. That's why we are revealing Jesus. Because it was in the work of ensuring that the bride is without spots or wrinkle. Wrinkle comes by aging. The church over the years have been aging, and as a result of that, it has begun to develop different attitudes and different characters. Brotherly love is no longer existing, and so many things go on. Praise God forevermore. Spots speaks of stains. The church has been in the world, and we are not of the world, yet we have allowed the world stain us so much. But that's why we are revealing Jesus. The more we reveal Jesus, what happened? He washes his bride. He washes her. He removes the wrinkles. He removes the spots. And she becomes the way. He said he will present the bride before the Father. He will not present a messed up bride. Are you getting what I'm saying? He will present a perfect bride before the Father. That's the joy we have. That the church of yours, no matter how it looks like it's messed up, no matter how it looks like they say this church, it doesn't. They are not, see the way they are behaving. No matter how people talk about the church, we are glad that the church is going to present is a church without spots. and wrinkle. Yes. And he's going to remove the spots and wrinkle. And that's why we are preaching Jesus, because we are acting to make sure that work is done. Yes. He married her. She was brought out of his side. He married her. And he will present the church before his father. You know what? The church is not a barrack. It's not a barrack. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it's not soldier come, soldier go. Some people say the church is not a hospital. I beg to deviate a little. Are you getting what I'm saying? For me, the church is not a hospital. Are you getting me? The church is the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is taken care of by Christ.
Yes.
Well taken care of by Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why the devil cannot have... People say the devil... I hear people say that when you come to church service, that the devil comes before anybody. No, that's not the church of Jesus. No, I don't argue with you, but I just tell you that with my understanding that this is the body, it's not the church of Jesus. Because every groom prevents his wife from being what? From being assaulted. Prevents his wife from being used by another man. Are you getting what I'm saying? And Jesus is preventing his bride. Say, but the church is not looking fine. He's not looking fine, but Jesus is taking care of the bride. He's cleaning the bride. Are you getting me? He's cleaning the bride. The bride of Jesus is not a prostitute. The bride of Jesus is a bride. He says it's his bride. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, we cannot be... You see, the Israelites in the Old Testament, God told Hosea, go and marry a prostitute. So I will show you the way Israel is baby to me. And he told his Isaiah, he told him, see, when Israel was an orphan, she was dumped in the gutters. She had no one cared for her. Said, I took her, I cut off her umbilical cord. Said, and I washed her, I cleaned her up. Said, and today, she's playing the harlotry. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
That was the Israel of old. Are you getting me? But I came to make us understand that the bride of Jesus is not playing the harlotry. Are we together? It's not playing the harlotry. It's not playing the harlotry. Praise God. It's a bride that is what? That belongs to Jesus. Ephesians 5 verse 25 and 20 says, husband, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. Cleansing her. Cleansing. He didn't say cleansed. Cleanse is past tense. He said what? Cleansing, which is continuous. Cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. And to make and to present her to himself as a what? As a radiant church. Wow. As a radiant church. Without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. But what? Holy and blameless. He's cleansing. So the church is not a messed up church. The church, is not all the things we call it. The church is a continuously cleansed church. Are we together? And so we're revealing the groom. And this groom is a groom that loves his bride. He gave himself for his bride. And he keeps cleansing his bride. Are we together? A groom that loves his bride. Oh, what a joy to have a groom that loves us. That's the groom we're introducing to the world. The devil is not a groom. He's a wicked tax master. Are you getting what I'm saying? He's not a groom. He's a wicked tax master. And he's exploiting those he has. But we're introducing a groom to the world. Jesus, a loving groom who loves his bride and continuously cleanses her. Even when she feels she's all right, he says, I still want better. I still want better. I'm still washing. I'm still working on you. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. And soul winning is to reveal Jesus. It also means to reveal Jesus, the groom, who will come to take his wife home. Hallelujah to Jesus. To reveal Jesus, the groom, who will come to what? Take his wife home. The joy we have is that the bride of Christ is going home for a wedding feast. Are you getting what I'm saying? You see, the second coming of Jesus, Jesus said he will come like a thief in the night. Some of us feel that he's coming to catch us unawares. And the way thief will just surprise us. That's who is coming to surprise us. Are you getting what I'm saying? But that is not the context he's really talking about. He's talking about the Jewish context of marriage, where a groom proposes to his bride-to-be. And when he proposes to the bride-to-be, for 1 year, he doesn't communicate. So he doesn't come to see her. He doesn't come to visit her. And he waits for 1 year. And his father is the one that knows the date that the wedding will hold. That's why Jesus says, I don't know the day. Only the father knows the day. It's his father that knows the day that the wedding will hold. And for that 1 year, the bride is, she and her bridesmaid are to live prepared, waiting for that day. Every night they are waiting. Tells us the story of the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins. That's just what he's trying to make us understand, that they are to live prepared. And they live prepared, waiting for that day. And the day of the wedding, the groom himself does not know. Neither does the bride know. It's only the groom's father that knows. Even the bride's parents don't know. On the day they want to wed, that night, the groom's father tells him, arise, it's time to go. And he stands up, he gets dressed up, him and his groomsmen, they are going with him. And the father leads the procession. As he begins to lead the procession, saying the groom is coming, the bride and her bridesmaid who have been waiting, they are to be alert. They are not to oversleep. So once they hear the procession, they jump on their feet and they get ready for the groom. Once the groom comes, and once the father comes to the groom takes his bride and they come to a feast that his father has organized, has prepared. And that's what Jesus said. Amen to Jesus. So Jesus is coming to take his bride home. We are the bride. That's why we are to live prepared. We are to live prepared for him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Is it not a joyful thing as a lady to get married? Remember the eve to the wedding. See how the euphoria is. You are just like, I wish tomorrow can come. I know that means the Jewish bride, her own is a more intense euphoria. You have 1 year euphoria. 1 year for us is a night, a night to the bride is like on top of the world. Are you getting me? But you see, the beauty of this one is that God keeps you on top of the world. The father of the groom keeps the bride on top of the world for 1 year. Look at us, we are waiting for the second call of Jesus. God has kept us on top of the world for this long. We should not see it as torture. We should see the way the bride in the Jewish culture wait for her groom, excited, expectant. I don't know why we are no longer expectant again. But the bride is expectant for 1 year. It might be this night, so she's excited. Hey, I have to be at my best every day, because it can just be today. It can just be tomorrow. I have to be expectant that my husband is coming. I don't know why we are no longer excited that our husband is coming again. So we are no longer expectant. We are not excited about his coming. We are carried away with the things of the world. But the real thing is that the coming of Jesus like a thief in the night is not a threat to us, it's an expectancy to us. Are you get what I'm saying? Yes. It's not that Jesus is threatening us, because when we have said this thing over the years, we have taught it in a way that makes people afraid. Like a thief in the night, you don't know when to come, so you better live holy. You better be holy. If he come and he sees you are not ready, you go to hell. Remember the five foolish virgins. No, it's not a threat to live holy. It's an expectancy to live holy. So, you see, the bride keeps herself for her groom. That's why when Mary was pregnant, she said, hey, there's trouble. I've been keeping myself for this man. And you come and tell me that I'll conceive. Let I see that I've conceived. There is trouble. Why? Because, see, it is a thing of joy for the bride to keep herself for her groom. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what the Jewish groom and bride used to experience. It was a thing of joy for the bride to keep herself for the groom. But I don't understand who taught us that is a thing of sorrow and a thing of fear and is a thing of, what else again, threat for us to keep ourselves for our groom that is coming. It's a thing of joy and great expectation. Glory to God forever. The second coming of joy, that's what Apostle Paul, he expected it in his time. He expected it in his time. And he said, we shall not all sleep. He said, for we shall be taken away. Say, and if he comes while we are still around, he was even expecting. Paul was so expectant that he was expecting that Jesus will come quickly. Even when Jesus just left, I expect him to come so soon. That's the level of expectation that the bride has for the groom. I get what I'm saying. And that was what Paul was expecting. When he waited and he kept preaching and preaching, occupying to the cave, and he saw that Jesus has not come in his time, he said, okay, I'm ready to be offered. So he said, oh, for me to leave is the waiting of Christ. And for me to die is even better for me, said the cave, because I've been waiting for the coming, he has not come. Let me better die and go. So and he said, I'm ready to be offered. Let me go. Because I'm expectant to meet my groom. We are to be expectant, excited. The coming of Jesus is to be an excitement, an expectation that we are to have, keeping us on top of the world, not keeping us afraid. Jesus can just come and I'll go to hell. No! Why should you be afraid of going to hell? If you are a bride indeed. Every bride. The bride is not afraid that her groom will ditch her. No. She's excited that he's coming for her. Because she has kept herself. And you get what I'm saying? And it's a joy for every bride to keep herself or groom. Except the bride has some serious issues. And I tell you, the church does not have mental issues. It's a beautiful bride. Are we together? So Jesus is coming for his bride and we're revealing him. You see, when we come and reveal Jesus like this, who will not like to follow Jesus? Hey, this is a groom. He's a lover. So we're saying, Jesus, lover of my soul. That song should be sung with understanding. Hey, I'm the bride that my lover loves me. Hey, when you sing, dance with me, oh, lover of my soul. When you sing those songs, you should be excited and expectant. Revelations 19, verse 7. Let us rejoice and be glad. Let us what? Rejoice and be glad. And give glory to him. For the wedding of the Lamb has come. Oh! And his bride has made herself ready. The book of Revelation is the word. Revelation is the word apocalypse, which means it has been revealed. So the book of Revelation tells us what will happen. Are we together? And he says, the bride has made herself what? Ready. That means the church will be what? Ready. Glory to God forevermore. We are not afraid. We are not threatened. We are not pessimistic that we may go to hell. No. He said the bride has made herself ready. So I am the part of the bride. That means I have made myself what? Ready. That's why I'm to live expectant and excited, waiting for the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And if we are here when he comes, oh beauty, we enjoy it, we go. But if you are not here, when we go, when we sleep, we will go. And the Bible says, they who are dead shall rise up first. Glory to God forevermore. Woo! We will rise up first and we'll all go for this wedding. I'm so excited about this wedding. Tell me which woman that is not excited in line to a wedding. Tell me a woman that is not excited in line to a wedding. And tell me a woman who has a wonderful, loving, caring groom that's not excited in line to a wedding. This is the Jesus we're introducing. The loving groom. The groom that gave his life for his bride. And the groom that claims washing his bride. Washing her. Even when she does wrong, he tells her, you are still beautiful. Oh my God. He tells her, I love you. I love you. And the more he loves on us, the more we see ourselves as, wow. Wow, why so much love? Lord, we just need to reciprocate it back to you. Who doesn't love that kind of man? We have not been presenting Jesus rightly. That's why it's like we're not winning the souls. Present this lover the way he is. Believe you me, everybody wants this love. Nobody fights love. The Bible is speaking about love. He said, and there is no law against it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Of which there is no law against it. No country in this world has a law against love. Say that you should not. According to the Constitution, Section 1, subsection 10, you are not permitted to love people in this country. Even the president of the country is already dead. Are you getting what I'm saying? There is no law against it. Everybody loves to be loved. When we present this Jesus that loves, oh Lord, souls are won without struggle. This is Easter period, thankful. Let's present the Jesus that loves. That's who he is, the loving Jesus. Let's not present all the kind of Jesus we have been presenting. We are presenting a lot about Jesus. Some of us have a lot of stories to tell about Jesus. But let's leave the stories and present the Jesus who he is. He's the love of God. Are we together? And that's a bride. That's a groom that is coming to take what? His wife. And what does it mean to win souls? It means to snatch people from Satan and hell. You see, the word snatch, I like it. It speaks of violence and it speaks of what? Speed. When have you ever snatched something from your hand before? The speed at which they do it, it will shock you. The speed, phew! The speed at which they do it will shock you. When we are not to gently take people from here, we are to snatch them with speed. That's how the Bible says, redeeming the times. In other words, we don't have time to slow. We don't have time to slack. Say, be not slack. Redeeming the times. That's why we snatch. The act of snatching is the act of what? Revealing the time, redeeming the times. We are fast about it. You don't slow down about it. You don't delay about it. I remember listening to a man of God and he said, when we are explaining to us what prayers does to the hold of the devil. He says, he told somebody, hold another person, the person held the person, and he started hitting the hand of the person holding the other person. And as I was hitting, the person's hand was getting weak, and the person finally left his grip. And he said, this is what prayer does. The more you pray for the salvation of souls, you are hitting the grip of the devil and weakening it. He said, the moment he loses his grip of the soul, said, the next thing you do is to quickly, say, don't waste time, oh, quickly what? Snatch the soul from the devil. Are we together?
Yes.
So we need entail snatching. You don't calmly do it. Say, let me give it a little time. Okay, I prayed for salvation. And you called him and he said, please, can you tell me about you? I said, okay, can we talk about it tomorrow? No, there's no tomorrow to talk about it. There's no tomorrow to talk about it. You call and say, please, can you tell me? Yes, Jesus is Lord. You start it there. You start hitting it. Are you ready to receive him now? He's the lover of your soul. He died for you. He saved you. You may not have all the plenty English and all the plenty passages of script, but just reveal the lover of his soul. Reveal the savior of his life. As you reveal it, are you ready to receive him? Once he said yes, sharply lead him to Christ. Don't waste time. You don't know if he's at the verge of death. I heard a story of a, not a story, I knew of a particular couple. They were both of a particular sect, very, very one sect like that. They were met on campus and they were of this sect. And the wife later gave her life to Christ. And the husband is a very nice man. He used to come to our house. Very nice, very good, moral and nice person. And he has good English. His English is very sweet. One thing we learned about the guy speaks good English. But you know what? This man never agreed to receive Jesus. But on his deathbed, the wife said, on his deathbed. Hey, when my father heard it, my father was excited. So on his deathbed, he said, can you lead me to Christ? Hey! And she didn't waste time. That is what you call snatching. You snatch it. Before he breathes and say, I cannot say the word again. Pow! You hit it. Even some people allow you to use sign language to say it. Say, are you ready to say, if agree with me. One thing I say is just nod your head. Say yes in agreement. After all, deaf and dumb, they preach to them. Jesus, today I receive you. You nod your head. I believe you nod your head. Thank you, Lord. As he's not yet, he can go. No problem. He has good. He's good to go. We have snatched him. We are snatchers. Say, and he gave his life to Christ. And he gave up the ghost. My father was excited. He was excited. Why? Because we are snatchers. We are what? Snatchers. Are we together? Colossians 1 verse 13 says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us under the kingdom of his son, of the son he loves. So we are to, Jesus has done this. He snatched us from hell. So we are to enforce this work of snatching. Are you get what I'm saying? We are to enforce it. Don't waste any little time, any small opportunity we have to snatch souls. We capitalize on it. If somebody say he wants to know about Jesus, and you tell him, I'm on a call now, I'll call you later. No, the call can wait. Somebody says, please just, can you talk to me about Jesus? I say, let me attend. You don't attend to nothing. Every other thing can wait. Jesus comes first. When people have to be saved, any other thing can wait. Your food can wait. Even your family can wait. Jesus must, people must be snatched.
Yes.
That's the fisherman mentality. When the fisherman is trying to catch in the fish, any other thing can wait. Any other thing can wait. They will wait. They catch the fish first, they snatch it from the water, then they can start talking. Now, some of them carry phone to the sea self. Yes, they carry phone to the sea. They carry phone to Ghana. But when they are catching the fish, if you are calling them, they don't mind your call. They catch the fish, you snatch it first. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And the last one is to take people away from the kingdom of darkness. To take people away from the kingdom of darkness. You see, as soul winners, this is our job. We are taking them from the kingdom of darkness. And we have a responsibility to ensure that we take. You see, it's not right for us to live our life. I have not taken somebody. We must take somebody. No. You must take somebody. The songwriter says, must I go an empty handed? Must I meet my Savior soul? Not with one soul to which to greet him. Must I empty handed go? We don't sing those hymns again. Those hymns put us on fire. Must I go an empty handed? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not with one soul to which to greet him. Must I empty handed go? We don't sing such hymns. That is why we don't know what we are doing again. Those were the songs that placed us on fire for soul winning. We went out to evangelize. Why? How can I go and meet my master with not one soul? What did I use 40 years of my life to do? I was born again for 40 years. What is it to do? To tell him, give me house, give me car, give me wife, give me children, give me money, give me car, give me house, give me wife. Is that like my life for? He saved me. And I couldn't snatch one soul from hell. I couldn't take people from the kingdom of darkness. Oh, that's not a good testimony. That's not a good testimony. So the song, it's a song that said, must I go an empty hand? I will leave this one empty handed. I don't know what they were thinking of then. I don't know why we are not thinking of those things now. What is happening to us? What are we thinking of? I preached somewhere on Sunday. I told them, if there's anybody that should have stopped preaching, I should have been the one to stop preaching. I said, Jesus died for us. He paid a debt that he did not owe. The only way I can repay him, which I can never fully do, is by preaching. Even if I preach every day of my life, I cannot see what? Pay him back for what he has done for me. I owe my life to him. So will I not go to heaven? Not once so. I go to heaven. Not one soul. And I come and I say, Jesus, I've come. I'm here. Jesus says, so what did you bring for me? I brought myself. You know, as visitor ever come to visit you, I remember, what did you bring for me? Say, I brought myself. Am I not enough? Yeah. Somebody comes to visit you, a friend comes to visit you. I ask him, you are coming from a journey. What did you bring for me? Say, I brought myself. Am I not enough? I don't know if you see me. I remember when I travel from Benin to Port Harcourt to come and meet my wife. I said, what did you buy and come for me? I said, I brought myself. Are you not happy to see me? She will feel so bad, and I didn't understand why she was feeling bad. I brought myself. Am I not enough? Are you not happy to see me? And I was like, I didn't understand why she was feeling bad, but I understand better. You know, when I'm coming from a journey, And I don't even have anything. If I don't even have money, I still try to buy some things for my wife. Yes, they're happy to see me, but I should bring something. Then we now come and meet Jesus. I say, Jesus, do you know what you price you pay to even get me? Do you know what you suffer to get me? Am I not enough? You know, Jesus, if you have lost me, you know what it has meant to you. Are you threatening Jesus? That's the way some of us are living. I tell Jesus, if you had lost me, you know you'd have lost. You gave me, said, am I not enough? Why are you looking for more, Jesus? I'm more than enough. So you are enough, and others can go to him. Am I not enough? Must I go an empty handed? Must I meet my Savior soon? That's why the song I say, must I? Is it a must? Must I go like this? Why? If it's not a must, I will go and tell. So if it's not a must, I will go and tell, then I must go with something. The songwriter says, you cannot preach like Paul. You can tell the children. You can preach stories to the children. You can win somebody. You can win somebody for Christ. You can reveal Jesus to somebody. Praise God. Acts 26 verse 18, it says, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith to me. Brethren, we need to understand that we have been given the task of soul winning. The miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000 entailed soul winning. This miracle is more than God give me food. What we have defined this miracle as is what? God give me food. God give me food. God give me food. Provision, provision. The Christian ideology of this miracle is simply provision. We never understood that there's a strong task of reconciliation here. Salvation and reconciliation. And inside reconciliation is what? So evangelism and soul winning and discipleship, shepherding. All of them inside this. This miracle is more than just provision. God do a miraculous meeting of my need. Let the 5 loaves and 2 fish that I carry be more than enough to meet all my needs. God, blow this bread. Let the bread blow. Let it be and let it feed all of us. God, supernaturally make this. It's more than that. This is what this miracle is all about. And even in this season where we are celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus, people have their different perspective towards Easter. I don't really fight these issues. All I care about is that I want to commemorate the death and resurrection of Christ. And in this season, this is the best season to say, Lord, help me. I must not go an empty-handed. I have seen that the easiest thing to do is to win souls. Why? Because I'm not the one who wins them. I only present Jesus, and I leave Jesus to win. Lord, help me. I want to present you now as the lover, the groom coming for the bride, as the price paid for the sin of humanity. Lord Jesus, I want to help. I want to start presenting you. Help me to start. If you are making that prayer at this moment, go open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this teaching. We believe you've been blessed listening to this teaching from God's Word. May your soul remain ever refreshed and revived. We would love to hear your praise report today. Kindly send it to us via email, chimdeoahunaministry@gmail.com. I would love to request, if you have not made the Lord Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, why not make it a date? Why not make this prayer today? Answer this call of salvation and repeat after me. Dear Abba Father, I know and accept that I am a sinner. I believe that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to die for me. I confess my sins to you and denounce sin and the devil. With my heart, I believe in and receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. With my mouth, I confess the Lordship of Jesus over my life. Thank you, Abba Father, for making me your child and for making me a new creation. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you want to give your love seed of any amount to Grace Life Komi Podcast, kindly use any of our giving channels available to give in dollars. You can send to Universal Merchant Bank, Ghana. Account number 0331545512013 with SWIFT code MBGHGHAC. And to give in CDs, you can still send via Universal Merchant Bank Ghana. Account number 0332545512017. And to give in Naira, you can send through Ecobank Nigeria, account number 554-102-0592. For further inquiries, and mobile money payments, or even sending us a WhatsApp, kindly use the number +233 54 594 7132. God bless you. Jesus is Lord.